Thanks for checking in, church. In the first video I made in this series, I talked about how we got here, why God allowed us to get here, and that kind of thing. And I put the blame squarely on the shoulders of the church. The church lost its vigilance, lost its saltiness, put the light under a basket. A lot of ways to think through what the church failed at and how we got here. We put all of our hope and all of our stock in elections and in candidates. Candidates with flaws, great, fantastic candidates, but we put all of our stock there and thought that that would solve the problem, and that is part of the problem. We gave away our salt, we gave away our vigilance, and here we are. I spent some time talking about the schooling system, the entertainment system, and so on. But what we need to understand is exactly where our point of failure was. What is our point of failure? And I believe that comes down to the job description of a church. What is the church for? Why is it here? Why did God put the church on planet Earth? What is his expectation of us? His expectation of us is really, really well summarized in what we call the Great Commission. Jesus said right before he ascended to heaven, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me," talking about himself. "Therefore, go," he says, "to the disciples," which is by extension, which is to us, to the total church, "go and make disciples of the nations." Go and baptize the nations. He says, "and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. And I'll be with you till the end of the age," he says. And then he ascended to heaven. That's the mission statement. Okay, that's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I kind of inserted my own summaries and meanings into that when I just shared it with you. Make disciples of the nations, baptizing them, and teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. That's the job description of the church, and it's given by Jesus. The job description of the church is not given by the government. It is not given by your personal feelings and your opinions. It's not. The church doesn't belong to any of us. It doesn't belong to me and you. It doesn't belong to the pastor. It doesn't belong to the governor or the president or the king or anybody else. It belongs to Jesus. All authority belongs to Jesus. Every kind of authority, all authority is his. He delegates authority to others. If you're a parent, he delegates you the government of the family to govern your children. That's delegated authority. That's why your children are supposed to obey you. Not because you have authority, but because God has authority and he delegates a certain amount to you to parent your children well. He also gives you self-government to govern yourself, self-control, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, so on. Included in that, the last one on the list is self-control, self-government. You have to be self-governed. You have to be in control of yourself and not just following whatever greed, whatever lust, whatever ideas pop into your head. That would be a lack of self-control, lack of self-government. Okay, you need to be governed. Your family needs to be governed. These are delegated authorities. All authority belongs to Christ, and he's delegated some of it to you as an individual, some of it to families. The delegated authority to the church is to teach the nations, disciple the nations, baptize the nations. Make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that he has commanded us. That's the job of the church. That's the delegated authority, is to teach the nations. He's also given civil authority. Civil government is different. This is the justice system. This is to do justice. Romans 11 says that the purpose of these governing authorities that God has established and God has ordained is to bear the sword. He also calls it wrath, to punish the evildoer, to punish wickedness. That is the primary purpose under God, biblically speaking, of why we have civil government. It's to catch bad guys and punish them. That's not the church's job. That's not the individual's job, the vigilantes. That's not the family's job. That's civil government. It's a real job. It's really important. God has delegated his authority to civil magistrates, governing bodies or whatever system you have. God has given that authority to punish evildoers, to punish wickedness. That's the purpose of it, according to the Bible. There's a few other smaller categories of civil government. Maybe we'll get to that. But what we're talking about in this series is how we got here. And how we got here is the church stopped doing its job. The church lost its job description. It forgot the job description. The church thought its job was to be friendly to everybody or something. And Jesus said, love your enemies. And the church thought that meant never have enemies and just be nice to everybody and never, ever, ever talk about anything even slightly confrontational or controversial, because then you might make an enemy. And Jesus just is here to love everybody or something like that. And we've lost our job description. Our job description is huge. He delegated us all. He had all authority in heaven and earth given to him for us to go make disciples of the nations, to baptize them and to teach them everything he's commanded us. Everything. One of the things he's commanded us are the delegated authorities of government and self-government and civil government and family government and church government. That's one of the things he taught us. So if the government is corrupt, if the government is big and unlimited in scope, and it's taking away the delegated authority of families, let me just back this up a little bit. Who has authority over your body? Who owns you? God owns you, right? Who has he given governing authority over your body to? He's given that to you. He's delegated authority over your body to you, not to the civil government. They don't own your body. They don't get to tell you, for example, that you have to get some medical procedure done. They don't own you. They're not allowed to do that. It's way outside the bounds. Well, whose job is it to teach them that it's outside the bounds? The church's job. The church's job is to teach the nations to obey everything he's commanded us. Some of the things he's commanded us are self-control, self-government. God owns me, and he has delegated me to me. I'm supposed to govern myself under God. Federal government in Washington, D.C. is not supposed to, because that's not their delegated authority. They're overstepping. God gave them a certain authority, justice, and they're like, we want more authority. We're going to take more. And the church is supposed to teach them to obey and say, no, your job is justice. Get really good at justice. Punish evildoers. Also, Romans 13, not just punish evildoers, also supposed to bless and praise doers of goodness, righteous people. Okay, so if they punish righteous people and bless wicked people and let the wicked guys out of jail and put the good guys in jail, they're doing it wrong. And the church's job is to tell them they're doing it wrong and to teach them and make disciples of them and say, no, state government, you are not allowed to do that. Under God, you're not allowed to do that. Well, when we do that kind of stuff, when the church does that, when good Christian people do that kind of thing, they are often ostracized from the church on the inside, from the friendly fire. And they're told, hey, you're not supposed to get involved in politics. You're not supposed to do that. That might make people mad. That might offend someone. That might create division. That might make people not love Jesus and not come to church because they say, oh, you're political. Well, no, teach the nations to obey everything Jesus has commanded means we're supposed to do that. We're absolutely supposed to do that. And when we don't do that, the nations do the opposite and they tell us to obey them. And we have to do what they command. And they say, oh, you're not allowed to go so many feet away from an abortion clinic. And we're like, oh, okay, we don't want to break the law. Christians want to be law-abiding. No, we want to teach the nations to obey everything Christ has commanded. Okay, that's what our job is. That's what Jesus said our job is. When he said all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, with all that authority in his voice and his command, he told us our job description. And it wasn't let the state teach you to obey everything it commands. It was you teach them to obey everything God commands. Right? That's it. It's not we get to tell them what to do. No. No, God tells them what to do. He uses his church to do it. It's the church's duty. And this is why he says that if you lose your saltiness, if you cover your light under a basket in a corner, if you lose your saltiness, you'll be thrown out and trampled on. If you put the light in the corner under a basket, it will be dark. You're the light of the world. So light up the world. This means the darkness will see it, and the darkness will not like it, and the darkness will hate you for it. And your job is to love your enemies. Other parts of darkness, according to Jesus, they will see the light. They will glorify God because of your good works, and they'll come in. Okay, some will come in when you do this. Others will hate you, and that is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to love them when they hate you. That's it. That's your responsibility. Love them when they hate you. But it's not to avoid being hated. That's not your job. And the church has taken that on. And that is the church overstepping its boundaries. Its boundaries are clearly defined by Jesus. And when we overstep them and say, oh, instead of loving our enemies, we're just going to avoid ever having an enemy, we're missing it. We're missing it. Jesus had a lot of enemies. All the apostles had a lot of enemies. Historically and globally, Christianity has tons of enemies. We don't like that. We don't revel in that. We don't find joy in enemies. But we should not run in fear from it. And we should not make up holy sounding excuses for why we're just going to, you know, supposedly not ever make an enemy. No, we're not looking to make enemies. We're not trying to be offensive. But we need to recognize our job. And when we do our job, when we teach the nations to obey, the church speaks to the individual. We teach the individual self-governance, self-control. Give your life to Christ. Let the Holy Spirit fill you and indwell you. He will produce the fruit of the Spirit, including self-control. Come to church. We'll have self-control together. The church teaches the family how to use its authority. Fathers, don't lord it over your children. Don't exasperate them. Don't just whip them and be strict on them just because, why do you have to obey me because I said so? Don't do that. No, because Christ has given you authority. It's delegated. It's his authority. So you need to be in Christ. And that's why children are supposed to honor their father and mother in the Lord, because the father and mother are supposed to be in the Lord, in the Lord. So use your authority that way. The church teaches that. It's supposed to teach that. When we don't teach that, we have overbearing parents or absent parents or whatever. Okay? And the same is true for the civil government. When the church does its job and keeps its job and stays in line, if the church oversteps, we don't want a theocracy. We don't want the church getting involved in justice, where the church is now doling out punishments and burning heretics at the stake and doing Inquisition stuff. No, that was a big mistake of the church. The church overstepped its bounds during that, the Spanish Inquisition or other times in history like that. The church is guilty of overstepping sometimes, and right now it's guilty of understepping. Right now it's guilty of giving away ground that it's supposed to own. And when you give away ground, someone takes it. In our case, in our situation with this election, and most people are thinking of it this way, they're thinking, well, the government, the state government, the national government, whatever, has overstepped. Well, that's one way of thinking of it, and they certainly have overstepped. But they've overstepped into a vacuum. The church gave away that ground, and it was sitting empty. And so the state just stepped in and said, hey, it's ours now. We own education, for example. We own your health insurance. Whose job is it to feed you? It's your job. That's self-government. That's part of it. You're supposed to get a job, feed yourself. If you can't, then whose job is it? It falls to the family. The family government is supposed to take care of you. If that fails, the church. Jesus fed the hungry, right? The church can do it. If none of those things are working, then the government's going to do it. And that's what they do. We call it food stamps. And we just assume that if you fall on hard times, they'll go to the government. They'll help you. This is so wrong. There's so many steps that got skipped right there. And that's just, we live as though that's normal. Whose job is it to educate your children? Read the Bible. It's clear that it's the job of the parents to educate their children. Is it evil for the government to have a school? I don't know if it's evil, but it's way out of bounds. It's not in the job description. It's the family's job to educate their children. It's the church's job. When Ephesians 6 says that you're supposed to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's talking about a church environment, a church culture. So it's the family's responsibility to educate the children. It's the church's job to provide that educational family with a Christian environment, Christian peers, Christian leaders that they're involved in. And yet we've given that away. We gave it all the way away. It's not even a thing. Most people don't even think about it when they think of education. They just assume it's a government job, civil government. It's not biblically. So the church gave away its ground. The church gave it away. The state took it after it was left available. And then the church decided to not ever be offensive and not ever be political and never say anything that might mildly disturb anybody. And so we just let them have it. And when you let them have an inch, they eventually take another inch, and so on and so on. And then you call the pastor and say, how did we get here? Well, it took us a really long time to get here. We gave away an inch every day, every year, for 100-something years. And then we wondered how we got here. That's how we got here. All right, we got to know our job description. That's where we'll leave it today. You got to know your job description. Your job description is to be making disciples of the nations, teaching them to obey all that God has commanded, including the job description of the nations, all of these things. Okay, God bless you. There's so much more we can get into with this, but we'll stop it for now.